Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's. Paul, will you bring up the first slide? Stewardship is deeply connected to Thanksgiving, so I wanted to share something that I'm thankful for. This picture was my first Thanksgiving together with Brenna, my wife. This was 2003. We were both still in college, and Brenna's family invited me and my parents to join them for Thanksgiving. We've had quite a few Thanksgivings since then, but Brenna is still the person that I'm most thankful for, and my marriage, our marriage, is probably the biggest blessing in my life. I would encourage you to turn to a neighbor for just a moment and share one thing that you are thankful for, and if you can't think of anything, just share your favorite Thanksgiving food. Go. All right. It's turning back into the sharing of the peace. Mickey's just, are you all right there, Mickey? What does it mean to be a steward? We explored that a little bit with the kids just a minute ago. A steward is one who leads, one who rules the way that a king or a queen, or more apt for our world today, a CEO, runs a country or a business. But a steward does it with the understanding that they do not own the country or the business. A steward works for a throne that they will never sit in. A steward works for a business that they will not inherit. When God calls us to be good stewards, what does that really look like? Our text today provides some insight. But first, would you please pray with me? Holy God, we ask that your word would continue to speak. Stir up your spirit in us now that we could have understanding, that we could gain insight, that we could be inspired and commissioned to leave today ready to share your word, to take what we have learned and how we've grown, and to love others the way you love us. And Jesus, whatever is not your word, may it fall away, and may your word and your spirit remain and preserve us. Amen. Psalm 24 makes it very clear in that first line, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. We had both the call to worship and the rest of the psalm there. There's some beautiful lines about the King of Glory and opening the gates and the ancient doors. We even had the women say one line and the men say another. It was very gender appropriate, talking about the Lord mighty in battle and the women saying, let him in. But ultimately, I want us to focus on that first line. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. This is a fundamental understanding that Scripture states and restates over and over again. And yet we still struggle with it. The ancient Hebrews struggled with it. And we see that even the Pharisees, the Herodians, experts in the law of Moses, experts in everything that Scripture taught in the Old Testament, they struggled with it too, because they failed to recognize who Jesus was, and they thought that they could trap Jesus with a simple question. Keep in mind that the time that we're talking about in Jerusalem was incredibly chaotic, tumultuous. Jesus was considered by many at this point to be the Messiah, and in this point in the story, he has already entered Jerusalem in the manner of a Messiah, a peaceful Messiah, right, riding a donkey and not a war horse, surrounded by folks with palm branches and not swords or spears, but a Messiah nonetheless. And this has happened in Jerusalem before, and it will happen again, where people claiming to be this Messiah-type figure, a conquering king, someone who's going to restore the kingdom of Israel and destroy the Roman occupying army, this is something that's happened in Jerusalem, and it will happen again, to the point that the Roman army will then bring in several legions and burn the city to the ground in about 35 years after the time of Jesus. And so the question of taxes is a way that they think that they can trap Jesus. Because if they say, if Jesus says, don't pay the taxes, then they can basically have the Roman guards come and arrest him for stirring up revolt and actively telling his followers not to obey the laws of Rome. But if he says, absolutely pay the taxes, then they can say, well, you're no better than us. We compromise with the Romans, and here you are doing the same thing, asking your followers to kind of sully themselves with the Roman coin and the Roman way of living in the world. But Jesus doesn't really give in to either side. Yes, he does tell them to pay taxes, but he makes a major and more important point first. First of all, he asks them, well, what's on the coin? Does anybody have a coin? And this is brilliant because it's implying that he and his followers don't carry those coins around. They probably didn't because they didn't have money on them most of the time. And so one of the Pharisees produces a coin. And here is the kicker. Jesus says, whose face is on that coin? Whose image? And they say, well, Caesar's. And Jesus says, well, if it's got his face on it, give it back to him, right? It's clearly his, right? But give to God what belongs to God. And everyone in the audience immediately knows what Jesus is talking about. Because Genesis 1 makes it very clear. After creating the heavens and the earth, after creating the sun, the moon, and the stars, the oceans, the soil, the green grass, the trees, the animals that creep along the ground, the fish and the creatures that swim in the sea, Jesus creates humanity. He creates the man and woman. And it says very clearly, in the image of God were they created. Each and every single one of us is made in the image of God. And so Jesus is saying, if Caesar wants those little metal coins with his image stamped on them, then by all means, give them back to Caesar. But think about whose image you bear. And and give that back to God. Jesus is making it very clear that yes, by all means, pay the taxes, but never, ever forget who's really in charge, who made you, who loves you, and who calls you to do much more than pay taxes or worry about what's happening in the political or the economic world. The empire belongs to Caesar, but you belong to God. It's Stewardship Sunday. It's that time that we're talking about tithes. We're talking about our offerings. We're trying to get an idea of what the next year will look like so that we can continue to do the work of the church and do it responsibly and well. But it's important to remember, we do not tithe. We do not give because we're good Presbyterians, and this is a Presbyterian church, so it just makes sense. We do not tithe because the staff of the church is so great, they deserve it. That may be true, I don't know. But we don't tithe because, we don't even tithe because we're Christians and we want Jesus to be honored. Those are good things, but that's not why we do it. We give because it is the fundamental recognition that we belong to God. Our lives, our breath, God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. Not only is God our good creator, our provider, but because of Jesus, and we're just starting Advent in a week, Jesus is the one who comes to us as Emmanuel, God with us. God is the one who comes to us. Jesus is the one who goes to the cross and dies for us, that we might be redeemed, who rose from the dead, that we might have everlasting life. When we talk about money, we talk about images, right? George Washington is not the emperor, but his face is on the money. Money is a useful thing, a tool, but it is not who we are. Stewardship is recognizing that, taking all the things that God has given us, caring not only for ourselves and our family, but taking time to recognize that God is the giver of every good gift, and God calls us to do more with our money than just get by. God calls us to be good stewards, and we have a model for what good stewards do. Paul, will you please go to the next slide? A good steward will give thanks. Paul, one more. So, that's what we're here to do, right? We've already been doing that. We give thanks. We lift up our hands. We sing and rejoice. We just shared some of the things that we are thankful for. Every good gift comes from God, and it is worth taking the time to give thanks. Remember that you rely on God not only for the food on your table or the money in your pocket, but we are to give thanks that God sends His presence, His Holy Spirit in our times of crisis. And we are called to give thanks that God has given us a mind, a heart, a soul, strength. And so we are called to give thanks with each of those things. Use your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength to give thanks to God, to glorify Him as the one who created you in love and redeems you through Jesus. Giving thanks, this continual recognition and expression of gratitude, keeps us humble. It keeps us close to our joy. It infuses us with hope. And that hope allows us to regularly share with others what God is doing in our life. A good steward gives back. Will you go to the next slide? There we go, Paul. Aside from praise and worship, the best way to give thanks to God is to give good things to others in God's name. When we give to the church, when we help someone in need, we are recognizing and celebrating that God has given us enough to share. and that we are befriending and loving Jesus when we care for those in need. One more slide, Paul. This is one of my favorite comics. I've probably used it in sermons before, and so I apologize if you remember it. But if you don't, great. The character is on his knees praying, and he says, "Why is it that whenever I ask Jesus to come into my life, he always brings his friends?" And his friends are all kinds of people with all kinds of needs and situations. When we invite Jesus into our life, he brings his friends. When we care for a hurting person in the world, we are communing with God. When Jesus describes the judgment of every single human being at the fullness of time, at the end of history, he describes himself as a king on a throne, separating people the way a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. This is in Matthew's 25th chapter. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked to give you clothing? When was it that we saw you sick and in prison and visited you?" The king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." Most of you know how the second part of that story goes. The goats are told that you did not care for me when I was sick and in prison or naked or hungry or thirsty. And the goats said, "Well, we never saw you in those situations. You were never there." And the king will say, "Just as you failed to do it to any one of the least of these who are members of my family, you failed to show that care to me." And the sheep enter into eternal life, and the goats go to eternal suffering. Heavy words. And yet, in the midst of that, there is this promise that when we give back, when we care for anyone, we are looking Jesus face to face. What an incredible opportunity. An invitation for Jesus, from Jesus, for us to meet him face to face. And so we know that good stewards give thanks and give back. Finally, we know that good stewards go forth. Stewardship is not just about giving thanks and giving back through offerings and tithes. Jesus is sending us out into the world. Pastor Peter reminds us at the end of most every Sunday that we do not leave the church, we do not go to church. We are the church. Jesus commands the church to go forth, to carry the good news that God is here, that the love of God is available, that the grace of God is poured out in Jesus Christ. All we have to do is receive it. We're called to go forth and to share that word in every corner of the world, in every corner of our own lives. We're in a time right now of church revitalization, casting new vision. In just a few minutes, you can go downstairs and talk with the vision team, find out where we're at, find out where we're going, and contribute to the progress that we are making. You can be a part of deciding what it means for our church to go forth in the years to come. Big things are happening in this church, and God is sending us out into the world to show his love. On Wednesday morning, starting about 6 a.m., there's going to be volunteers here, and by 7:45 a.m., the parking lot will be full of hungry people, and we will be handing out thousands of Thanksgiving turkeys and food boxes. If you have some free time on Wednesday, I would invite you to put some warm clothes on and join us. Get to know some of your neighbors. Later that same night, we will have hungry people in our basement receiving a warm and delicious meal, as well as a message of God's love for them. If you haven't yet joined us for opportunities like these, I beg you, come and see. And it's not just about what the church officially is doing. It's about what God is doing in your life, in the lives of the people around you. You have neighbors, friends, coworkers, classmates who are struggling. Some struggle just like you. Some have other struggles. But God is sending you forth today to show his love in ways that are big and ways that are small. How will you care for them? How will you meet Jesus face to face when you interact with those neighbors, coworkers, classmates, and friends? Jesus never once commanded anyone to go to church on Sunday. Never once commanded anyone to drop a check in the offering plate. But he did command, and he still commands us to follow him, to go forth and make disciples. And we do that. We do that by giving thanks, by giving back, and by going forth. So let us all go forth today, carrying the love and the gifts of God that we have received, but sending those gifts and sending our very selves out to a world that needs them just as much as we do. Your money, your life, your heart, mind, soul, and strength, God has given you so much. And it's easy to be lost. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to be tempted by the world around us, by the cares of today. But Jesus reminds us, in whose image are we created? We are created in the image of God. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Let us give thanks. Let us give back. Let us go forth. Please pray with me. God, we give you thanks. Another year, another season, another day in which we have the opportunity to give thanks, to praise your name. God, I ask that your word would remain with us, continue to guide us when we feel troubled, when we feel at the edge of despair. God, come and remind us that we belong to you and you belong to us. And may your word guide us as we give thanks and give back and go forth. May this coming year be a year of wonderful movement of your spirit. Wonderful moments where more and more people are able to give thanks and give glory to you, rejoicing in your salvation. We ask that you would be with this church, that we could continue to be good stewards of all that you have trusted in us for over 117 years, 118 years. God, we give thanks. Help us to go forth as your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.